David O. Rankin said this in his poem, Singing in the Night. I love to pray, to go down deep into the silence. I love to strip myself of all the pride and the selfishness, the coldness of heart, to peel off thought after thought, passion after passion, until I reach the genuine depths of all. To remember how short a time ago I was nothing and how short a time again I will not be here. To dwell on all the joys, the ecstasies, all tender relations that give my life zest and meaning. To peek through a mystic window and look on the fabric of life, how still it breathes, how solemn its march, how profound its perspective. And to think how little I know, how very little, except the calm of the silence and the singing in the night. Prayer is the soul's intimacy with God, the ultimate kiss. As Unitarian Universalists, prayer may hold some challenges for us. There are multiple jokes that say our prayers sound something like this: Oh God, if there is a God. Huh, no. To whom it may concern. Amen. Enter. Send. Some of us come from other faith traditions. Some from traditions where prayer has left us confused or empty, let down, abandoned, wounded. Some of us have strong prayer beliefs and practices. We miss ecstatic or spirit-filled prayer, even prayer in tongues. So how do we talk about prayer together? One of the bigger issues we've had as a faith is that while we've worked hard to increase our diversity, for a long time that came to mean we swung hard towards humanism and atheism and away from Christian roots. We spent a lot of time working to include people of color and people who were disabled. We created welcoming congregations and we made it clear that if you were queer or trans, you were welcome here. But while we were doing this good work, we also worked to replace much of our religious language. We made change after change to heal old hurts and let people feel more welcome until we reached a point where in some churches a minister could not say the word God or refer to prayer at all. In trying to be authentic, we became so careful that many people couldn't talk about their beliefs. A few years ago, our then-president, Bill Sinkford, urged us to reclaim that language of reverence, to be unafraid to use religious language and metaphor if it carried the meaning we needed, if it made it possible for us to share together. We're almost at a point where this is happening. We get to talk about prayer, to reclaim it for ourselves. Let's start by talking about what it isn't. What it isn't is meditation, though it may be meditative. Meditation by nature is designed to center and clear the mind, to let a person find a peaceful and still place to review their actions and emotions, or just to find calm. There are wonderful meditation traditions, incredibly valuable, but they aren't prayer. Doesn't mean one is better or worse. There is no ranked higher, ranked lower. If prayer isn't meditation, then what is it? Prayer is a conversation with mystery. It's a conversation with an absolute, maybe a divine presence, maybe a higher form of human nature, maybe just your best self. Can be done in words or deeds or thought. It has no form. Our first source, the source from where we draw inspiration, is direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder. Prayer is the interior experience of that direct connection to mystery and wonder. And prayer has a different set of functions than meditation. In fact, it has several sets because there are different kinds of prayer. Four main kinds can be remembered by the acronym HADI. Stands for help. Help. Oops. Thanks. And yay. Help prayers are the reason for the old saying that there's no atheist in foxholes. They happen when we speak to the divine in our hearts and ask for assistance for ourselves or for someone else. And the funny thing is, they seem to have some effect. Dr. Larry Dorsey became interested in prayer as practice to aid healing because back in the 80s he read a study that indicated that patients who were prayed for recovered faster. He wrote a book, Prayer is Good Medicine, in 96. And Dorsey noted that since the 80s, when he first heard of this, they've done over 130 controlled laboratory studies that show that prayer, or prayer-like state of compassion, empathy, and love, creates healthful changes in many types of living things, from humans to bacteria. Although prayer didn't always cure, it somehow seemed beneficial. I was shocked to find out that a bunch of these studies were double-blind studies, where one group was prayed for and the other not. The group that was prayed for recovered faster and better. But the frightening part, the astounding part, was that the patients didn't know they were being prayed for, and neither did the doctors or nurses. Other experiments had patients prayed for by people in random locations around the country. The people only knew the name and diagnosis. Didn't make any difference. People got better. They've done studies since 96 that have shown that those praying also demonstrated decreased blood pressure, decreased heart rate, increased self-reported feelings of well-being. There's something to this. Did prayer really do anything? Nobody will ever know. You can't control for every element in these studies. But in every case where people knew that others cared enough to pray for them, they reported increased mental well-being and feelings of comfort. Didn't matter who they were, what their religion was. It was that someone cared. Knowing that somebody cares about you enough to ask the universe or God to help you out is pretty powerful. But what about when you're asking for yourself? How many times have you bitten off more than you can chew? How many times have you tried to handle something too big for you to do alone? To tough something out, to keep on going and win? The prayer for help is that moment when you admit in your soul that you cannot go this one alone. And when you open yourself up to being receptive to assistance, it doesn't matter if God sent a guy over to ask if you were lost, or if he came over because you looked confused and were trying to make eye contact. Your prayer was answered in the moment that you opened yourself up to the possibility of accepting help. Oops, prayers are pretty self-explanatory. Dear God, guess what I did now? Can you ever forgive me? For a humanist or an atheist, this may seem useless, but again, this is you speaking to your own version of the Absolute. Oops, prayers are one place where you can be completely honest with yourself, recognize the true magnitude of whatever you did, and where you can do one more thing. Now that you've admitted it, you can forgive yourself. Oops, I did it. Let it go. Thanks prayers are the opposite. They're recognition of how well you're doing. They're the moment that rather than pat yourself on the back, you recognize both your own achievements and all that you've been given, perhaps by the world, perhaps by God, perhaps by others. And you recognize all that has not been given to others. Yay, prayers, those moments when you go, wow, how amazing. The moment you see the sunset or the mountain, the moment your child is born, the moment that you bite a perfect peach. They underlie songs like, how great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy hands have made. Doesn't matter if you believe in a god or a goddess or a big bang. What matters is that moment when you stand in complete awe and appreciation. That is prayer. So when sacred texts call for us to pray without ceasing, to let our lives be a prayer, what does that mean? What does it have to do with praying for peace? All prayers share an awareness of the person praying in relation to something else. When I was a little kid, my younger sister Tracy loved monkeys. She loved monkeys and gorillas. Her favorite television show was some ridiculous piece about Spencer Tracy and Kong, where Tracy was a big gorilla. And Tracy, my sister, had an imaginary friend, a purple gorilla named Muncie. And you can imagine, as a 12-year-old, I thought this was the most ridiculous thing ever. I was not very sympathetic to my 10-year-old sister and her imaginary purple gorilla. She played games with him. She told stories about things he did. She even danced with him a few times. And she talked to him every day. And he talked back, not in ways that anyone else could hear. But when she had a problem she couldn't solve, sometimes Muncie would think up an answer. And when she needed a pat on the back, she would come let us know that Muncie had told her she'd done a great job, really. He came up with the ideas that she couldn't, and it was okay if they were wrong or people laughed. Something didn't look right because it was all Muncie the gorilla's fault. I don't know if that lousy purple gorilla really existed. I know he drove me nuts, and I know my sister got very angry when I claimed to have sold him to a local zoo. I also don't know if there's an invisible bearded man in the sky. I don't know if there's an invisible mother figure permeating nature. But I know that when we take a moment to externalize our need, to see ourselves in relation to something else, answers come, whether they come from a purple monkey, a god, a goddess, or your own mind. Humanist UU minister Reverend Roger Cowan wrote the following: in a desperate moment, I cried out for help and I was answered. Some years later, I'm still a humanist. I believe that religion is about this world and bringing justice and mercy and the power of love into here and now. And yet I'm a humanist who prays, who begins each morning with a devotional reading. Why do I do this? I need quiet time. I need to say thank you. I need humility. I pray because alone I am enough and not enough and too much. I express gratitude for the gift of aliveness. I assert my oneness with you and all humankind and all creation. And when I pray, I acknowledge that God is not me. Prayer reminds us that we are not gods, although we may be co-creators with the divine and we may be of divine origin. Prayer reminds us that we are in relationship to the world, to a moment in time with ourselves. Prayer is a calling for peace by its very nature. It's a lens, a focus. It can be silly or serious or loving or angry. Screaming aloud at the pain of 9/11. Asking furiously why black and white people in America have such different lived experience. This too is prayer. O Lord, how can I thank you for the bounty on my table and the extras stuffed in my fridge when thousands of children die every day of starvation? For the comforts of my home where over 600,000 Americans are homeless? For my health where millions of people can't afford to see a doctor or fill their prescriptions? O Lord, how do I thank you? How do I thank you for the work that I have that pays the bills when so many are unemployed or don't earn a living wage? For a life free of calamities when earthquakes and floods, tsunamis, hurricanes and fires ravage entire populations? For the leisure time I spend reading for pleasure when nearly a billion people are unable to read? O Lord, how can I thank you? For a life of peace when bullets fly in inner cities and schools, when drones and landmines and missiles and sanctions stalk the lives of millions? For this country of ours so blessed and free, where soldiers are in our streets as police officers, where police officers are executed in their car, where soldiers who fought for it are killing themselves at a rate of 22 a day, for the wonders of nature, when half the people on this planet are stuck in cities? O Lord, how do I thank you? How do I thank you for my wife's love when half the marriages around me will fall apart? For my child's smile when more than one in four children will never, ever live with their fathers? For my daughter's happiness when thousands of teenage girls are cutting themselves? O Lord, how do I thank you? O Lord, how do I thank you for the freedom to go where I want, say what I think, do what I like, when up to 27 million people work as slaves or are trafficked for sexual exploitation every year? For friends who love and love me when every fifth person lives alone and has no more than one significant conversation every 6 months. For giving me faith and hope and a reason to live when 1 in 10 American adults reports they're depressed. O Lord, how can I thank you for my blessings unless I spend less on myself and give more to others? This I pray. I befriend the friendless. I help the helpless. I strengthen the weak. This I pray. I lift up the downcast. I give faith to the faithless. I pray for the hopeless. I thank the thankless. I defend the defenseless, embrace the rejected. I clothe the naked. I feed the hungry. O Lord, this is how I can thank you, for I have so much to thank you for. But one thing I ask, and one thing only: help me to thank you. Help my prayer to be not with my lips and my heart, but with the life I live. Doesn't matter if you pray to God or a goddess or to Muncie the purple gorilla. Work for personal peace, for deep peace in the world. It comes from remaining in relation to whatever absolute allows you to express your need for help, your thanks for goodness, your sorrow at mistakes, and your joy in possibility. Live authentically. O Lord, I thank you, for I have so much to thank you for. But let me pray by the very life I live. May your life be a prayer. Amen.